Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Open House, where we celebrate who we are and what we do as a community. Our guests today are a nonprofit called Proffer Ministries. Their names are Catherine and Ed Funk, and they're going to tell us a little bit more about who they are and what they do in our community. Hello and welcome.
Hi, thanks for having us.
How are we today?
Very good.
Are we excited?
Thank you. Of course.
I'm excited. I've known you guys for a while now.
Yes, many years.
This is exciting.
Nice to sit with you.
It's very exciting. Yes. So I have to say, when I first heard the name Proffer Ministries, and I'm sure you get that question a lot, Proffer, like, what does that mean?
The word proffer is spelled P-R-O-F-F-E-R, and it means to hold something out to someone for acceptance or rejection. And we are a gospel-sharing ministry, so we hold out the gospel of Jesus Christ for people to accept or reject.
Awesome. And if I can ask it this way, how old is Proffer Ministries? When did you start?
I believe we celebrate 3 years this year. But we don't just do stuff here in the States, we do stuff all over the world. So it's been a real privilege and an honor to, you know, be able to take the gospel of Jesus Christ all over the world. It's really started with one verse. The Lord spoke to me one day, John 9:4, which says, we must do the work of him who sent me while it is still day, because night is coming when no man can work. And when he spoke to me, it was right after COVID. And I just remember, it's like we got a glimpse of what night would look like with COVID. You know, the whole world shut down and it was hard to go anywhere. You know, I traveled through that and, you know, there was many countries you could not even get into because of COVID. So that's really why we started, and where we started was with that verse.
Mm-hmm. So you're international, you're not just local.
Yeah. Four continents.
So could you expound for our listeners today just a little bit more about that, maybe first on the local aspect? How do you connect with community, maybe local churches, and how do we get involved with that?
Absolutely. Do you want
to? So a lot of what we try to do here is to try to help churches to operate as the full body. We try to connect with local churches, and we try to help people enter into what they feel called to do. I know my wife has a real heart for that. She's really good at just helping people find their place. So maybe she can kind of talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I know that oftentimes in churches we see a pastor or somebody else that's on a platform, but there's a whole range of people that might be artistic, they might have a musical ability, they might be into the arts, they might be good at building things, they might not like to talk to people, but you know, they can construct something. There's so many different gifts and so many talents, and we just really believe that the Lord wants to use all of us together for him, for his glory. So. Mm-hmm. We want to help people to do that.
So when you go into local churches, what does that invitation look like? Does that look like plugging them into Proffer, or I think I heard you just say it, like partnering with the pastor on how to connect the people of the congregation that might not know how to get started? And is that connected like just within the church? Does my question make sense?
It does, yes. Okay. So, first, I want to say our ministry when it started off was more international than it was local. We've kind of come into the local. We lived in South Carolina before we moved here, but affecting or sharing what our experience with the Lord is with other people locally in our community is really important to us. It was in South Carolina and it is here as well. So we really want to make sure that people within our community know what the gospel is, know that God's heart towards them is good. You know, we want people to know that. We want to help meet needs in the community, and we want to help the church to find ways to do that as well. So as we've come along, we're developing this model that we want to first show people the need for sharing their faith with the people around them. You know, my husband and I, my husband comes from a really different background than I did, but I grew up with a lot of hurt and a lot of anger. And when someone shared about Jesus with me, I had an understanding that if he was who he said he was, then I needed him. Mm-hmm. And so I started reading a Bible, and I just more and more was like, I need this. I need who this person Jesus is. And he started showing me about forgiving, what love really looked like, just selfless laid down love, which is what he did for us. It was selfless laid down love. And so my husband as well, he has a background with some addiction, and I don't know if you want to talk about that at all, you can, but we're just regular people that have been really impacted by the love of God, and we want to share that with people. So we want to help the church to understand how much people need that, because my life would not look I may not even be alive today if it weren't for my relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I know the same thing for my husband. So mm-hmm. we want to help express that to the community. We want to help people learn how to begin to pray for their neighbors, and also to create points of invitation where they can invite their neighbors, invite their friends to come and hear the gospel if they don't feel confident in how to express that well. And also, people need community. There's so many people that are struggling with loneliness, that don't feel like they have someone that's there, that haven't had a real experience of love in their life, and we want to help create those spaces. So we're trying to build a model that's going to help people in the church and just Christians to share that with people, their direct neighbors, and also on a community level.
I think that's amazing, because, you know, you're right. We do need community, but we also need the transforming power of the gospel to
Absolutely.
Be able to live in the fullness and not stay stuck in those places where people feel like there's no way out of that. So
absolutely.
Really applaud and commend, and really grateful that people like you are taking that step forward, like an action step, and giving legs for other people to also join you in that action step.
We're really grateful for all of the people that have partnered with us in doing the events that we've done, because it's not just us. There's so many people that have so many ways that they want to love on their community, and we're so excited to see those people come together yeah. and really build and up and benefit the people that we live around. Mm-hmm.
And I think too, like, to kind of go back to your question, you know, we try to connect the church in a few different ways, really. One of the ways is we try to help people who really have a heart, like, I want to see my neighbor saved, or I want to know how to share the gospel. You know, that's a question that I get a lot, is like, you know, I hear you share the gospel with people, but like, what does that look like? How do I start a conversation with people? So we do very, you know, practical trainings, but then we also do community events. So we'll do just an event where maybe you're not big on, you know, talking to people, but you love to feed people. You know, you love to just help kids have fun. You know, you want to create a safe place. So we do events where, you know, we're creating a safe place that the community can come and they can just experience the love of God and the church operating together. And we bring multiple churches together. So it's really a fun thing. It's been very impactful, just enjoyable. But then we also try to do things like take teams on missions trips. So like this year, I'll be going to Peru later on in the year, and we will be taking a big group of people from all different churches, all different walks of life, taking on a missions trip. But our missions trip is to serve the church there by sharing the gospel. So that's really, I love, like, you know, building stuff, community, like stuff like that, but our mission really is, it always comes back to proffer. You know, we want to hold the gospel out. So that's always kind of what our stuff centers around, is how do we not just love on people, but share the gospel? Because we truly believe that the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. Mm-hmm. And if you want to see a life changed, it has to be through the gospel. The gospel has the power to radically change somebody's life. And for me personally, to just kind of go back a few minutes, is like, you know, no one shared the gospel with me. I was, you know, 23 years old, I didn't know who I'd heard of Jesus. I believed God was real. Mm-hmm. But no one said you can have a relationship with the God who created everything and you. He loves you enough that he wants to be a part of your life. I'd never heard that before. You know, so I want to see people, you know, be able to walk in the same freedom and the same just love for life. Not that life is perfect, you know, but
right.
But through Jesus, through his transformative power in our lives, we can have our lives radically changed. So we want to see that for people.
I think that's the key word that I'm hearing you guys say is the freedom. You know, freedom to serve, freedom to be set free, freedom to go. And oftentimes it seems that's where we get stuck. I hear purpose within a purpose. Proffers purpose within a purpose. Your main purpose, you want to get that message out of the gospel for freedom and for people to be set free. And then to find your purpose in that. And that is freedom. When you can give back, like you were saying, what proffer means. Like, you know, so I love that you're doing that. Yeah, that was one of my other questions about the trainings. So when you go visit local churches, you offer trainings there at their church, or how does someone get plugged into a training to improve on how to share?
So we do them, usually when we do a training, we'll kind of reach out to people from all different churches. So we'll kind of put out that we're doing a training with a couple different churches and try to bring a group of people together. And we do practical training, and then we actually take them out. So like the last time we took people out, we went to Gettysburg and we were just sharing the gospel with people. And it's really amazing when you see people share the gospel for the first time. And they realize it's really not that complicated.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also things that we see in the Bible where it says like how people shared the gospel, like what were points that they shared, you know, what were the important things. So we try to share that and make sure like, hey, like if we look back in scripture, this is what we see how people shared the gospel. So like, let's imitate that. Let's try to do our best in sharing what's important and give people an opportunity to make a decision. You know, you can be the best salesman in the world. You can have the best sales pitch. But if you don't say, hey, do you want to buy this car?
Uh-huh.
And give them a chance.
Yeah.
Like they can just walk away with, oh, that was really encouraging. Yeah. You know, and for me, for a long time, that's what I did. I would tell everybody, oh, Jesus changed my life. Like, I mean, I was a drug addict, an alcoholic. I hated life. And now I enjoy myself. Like, I like life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd just be like, all right, see you later. You know, like, but I never actually told them the gospel. And there's a lot of people out there that's like, yeah, I'm cool with Jesus. Like, I'm okay with church, like religion. Like, yeah, I believe there's God. But they don't understand what Jesus did, what he provided, and what he's calling them to. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that that's what people hear and they have an opportunity to respond to it. Because ultimately, that's what you see in the Bible, is the apostles and, you know, the disciples of Jesus giving people an opportunity, like, come and follow this Jesus with us. Mm-hmm. Like, let him transform your life. Adhere to what he says and see what he does in your life. Like, it's about relationship. Oftentimes we hear people say like, oh, you know, give your life to Jesus so that you can go to heaven. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, let Jesus come into your heart. But like, it's so much more than that. Like, he wants to walk with you every day. He has a plan and purpose for your life, and it's good. And it doesn't mean everything's going to go the way you want it to. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not what he promised. But he did promise that he's going to walk with you and that he'd be there for you. And he would help you. And you can, through him, you can have hope in a hopeless situation. You see that in the Bible. Paul was in prison, but he had hope. He rejoiced in prison. Like, we can do that.
That's a powerful message. And I like that you're just really reiterating that again, because it's more than just making a name for yourself, you know, but seeing those lives transformed.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. You also mentioned that you're international. You said something about four continents. So what does Proffer, how is that connected internationally?
So we operate here in North America, also down in South America, in Africa, and also in Asia. So in the last year, trips that my husband typically goes on most of the international trips by himself because we have six children. So he's gone to the Philippines, he's gone to Malawi, and he's gone to Peru a few times, but I think we have 14 or 15 countries that we've gone to now. We've had three other evangelists that have joined us this year. The first couple years were just my husband going out, and a large part of what my husband has been doing is in Africa and sharing the gospel there, which is proven to be incredibly effective. Children are so tender-hearted. They're not hard-hearted. They haven't been as affected by the world. And do you want to talk about that a little bit? There's just a real receptiveness to that.
Yeah, so up to this year, it was really just about me going out. And I had an opportunity. We do what we call youth crusades. And I've been able to share the gospel with over 500,000 people face-to-face.
In the last three years.
And it's been really amazing. We get reports all the time from, you know, leaders in the community who say, you know, ever since you've come, like, it's transformed our community. Like, our kids are doing better in school. They're doing better at home, you know. And it's, you know, it's opened the door for, you know, other Christians to be able to come in and help disciple them and help them to grow in their relationship with Jesus, which has been amazing. But it's kind of transformed this last year. So now we're taking some of our training that we've done here, but taking it overseas. And we're doing what we call Jesus camps. But it's really about training people to be healthy ministers. And again, you know, a lot of people, even people who have been saved a long time, don't really understand how to share the gospel. So, and share the gospel from a healthy place. So we want to raise up healthy evangelists, you know, making sure that they're honed in that Jesus is their first love. Like, that has to be your first love. Your identity can't become ministry and what you do. It has to be, your identity has to become from being His first. And helping them just to receive that they're a son, you know, they're not orphans, you know, they're not by themselves. Yeah, or daughters. Sorry, if I have to be a bride, you have to be a son. I'm sorry. But, you know, really it's about creating healthy ministers of the gospel and healthy evangelists. And so now we're training up people. So I did this in Malawi. I just came back about a month and a half ago. And they have gone on, you know, we're helping fund them. It's the fourth poorest nation in the earth, so they can't, you know, go out and do this stuff by themselves. But I get daily reports, pictures, you know, of what they're doing. And it's really amazing. You know, we fund them to go out every day, but they go out and preach to thousands of youth every day. Just since I've been back, they've been able to share the gospel with over 150,000 youth, which, you know, for me, that's totally mind-blowing, because it took me 3 years just to get to 500,000. Where if they've done, you know, 150,000 in a month and a half. But that's the power of multiplication. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to multiply ourselves into other people so that other people are set free and, like, to do the work that they've had in their heart. All the people that we raised up in Malawi, that was the thing that they said to me the most after the training. It was like, this is what I've always wanted to do with my life. I just didn't know how to do it.
Wow.
And they're like, since you've come, like, I feel free. Mm-hmm. Like, I was just talking to some of them on the phone today, and they were just like, they couldn't stop talking about how good of a time that they're having just being a part of what God's doing in Malawi. And just always coming back to, like, this is what I saw in my dreams. Like, this is fulfilling a dream that God gave to me a long time ago. But I never thought it would ever come to pass because I didn't know how. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's really touching to be a part of something so much bigger than myself. You know, I'm just a normal person, you know. And, you know, Jesus changed my life, and to see what's happening from it is just, it's touching and it's mind-blowing.
So just going to kind of highlight your last statement there, because I think that's important for our listeners. You said, I'm just a normal person. And I think it's important to know that it's not just you guys representing this ministry that you started, but that seems to be thematic in what I'm hearing you say today. Like, anybody can do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah,
if so you don't have to be this level of education or this kind of background to get plugged into.
No, I mean, I didn't even graduate high school. I got GED after I got saved, but I mean, I've went to Bible, you know, Bible school and stuff like that, and I've had special trainings myself, but it's really, are you willing to grow? You know, are you willing to take steps of faith? I've heard this saying before, and I quote it a lot. I don't know who started this saying, but, you know, faith is spelled R-I-S-K. If you really want to walk in faith, you're going to have to take risks. And, you know, for my wife and I, we can honestly say sometimes it's felt like we've given everything we had. But somehow, some way, God shows up and he provides, even in, you know, your moments of saying, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to step forward. But you just keep moving forward and God shows you the way.
And then, you know, on your international trips that you were talking about and training and equipping healthy leaders and ministers, obviously you don't live in those places. So do you also have those connections, a way for new believers to be part of that community to continue that growth?
Yeah, so we have a lot of connections. We build a lot of connections. I'm a part of a larger organization as well, that we all work together and partner together, you know, kind of behind the scenes, but we all have our own ministries and our own callings. But through that, we create partnerships together inside the countries before we even go. And it's partners that we share amongst each other. So like in Malawi, I'm partnered alongside the Evangelical Association. There's other organizations called Scripture Union and One Hope. They're all over Africa. And we've partnered with them in different countries long before we ever go. And we share our vision. We share what we'd like to see God do and what we believe God's going to do. And then we ask them, like, is this something you'd want to partner with? And if you want to partner with, like, this is what it's going to look like. We're going to go into places that maybe you'd never go. You could never go because of lack of finances or just people to mobilize. We're going to bring a huge team and we're going to share the gospel with, you know, a couple hundred thousand people. But then we're going to help you find people all over, you know, in the rural areas or in the cities who are willing to go back and do discipleship. And we'll partner you with them. And then you can, instead of having to go there, you can pour yourself. You can disciple these disciplers now. And you'll train them to go train the youth. So we've created this model where it's not, you know, where it can be reproduced wherever we go. And it's really, it's been really, really effective. I was actually just talking to the Scripture Union director in Malawi actually earlier today. And just really excited about, you know, what God's doing and seeing people's lives changed and the partnership that we have. So it's really amazing.
Mm-hmm. So as far as partnership, it's not just about like the financial aspect, but there's also invitation for people to join you on those trips. I believe you already mentioned that.
Yeah, some of the people that my husband has, that we've trained with and that he's helped to train up have joined our ministry. So we have people that are now a part of our team that are going out. Like we have one young man that is from Africa that had helped to train up, and he just went into Sudan and South Sudan. He is an African, so he can kind of go into places that we wouldn't be able to access. Mm-hmm. He was just able, I don't know if you know anything about Sudan, but it's one of the worst crises on the entire planet. Mm-hmm. It's a really terrible situation. And he was able to go in and encourage a group of believers in a country that's 91% Muslim. Yeah, and they were also able to share the gospel with a bunch of Muslims. They saw people healed there, but he was just saying how refreshing that was for them, for both of them, to be built up and to just encourage each other through that situation and circumstance. So that's there as well. And then also the trips, like the one that we're taking to Peru, if you are not able to go out or you don't have a desire to be a full-time evangelist, maybe that's not your thing. We have trips where you can go for a shorter period of time. We have the one in November where we're going to Peru, to Lima, a district in Lima, and it's going to be a 10-day trip with training. My whole family went last year, and it was an incredible experience, so that was wonderful. And then we also have things on the local level for people that can't or don't want to travel, so we have all of that.
And there's also the ability to come and do a Jesus camp, like if mm-hmm. it's something that's on your heart, you're like, man, I'd love to go be a part of what you're hearing, you know, doing youth crusades and stuff like that. We've actually, you know, brought Americans over to do, you know, a Jesus camp. In Malawi, we actually trained 3 Americans. They came over, stayed with us for 3 weeks, and now they're just on fire. They're like, you know, I thought this was just going to be a one-time thing, but they're already talking about their next trip now. So it's really life-changing. So it's one of those things that's like, if your heart burns for it, if like you hear what we're saying and you're like, man, my heart burns for that. Like, you have to do it. Mm-hmm. Like, why live your life and get to the end and say, what if I would have? You know, that's one of the biggest things my wife and I always come back to is like, are we going to stand before him, before Jesus someday and say, did we give it all or did we hold back? So it's like, if our heart burns for something, we're like, you know what? Like, we'll sell it all. Like, whatever it takes, like, we have to go for it. Because ultimately, I mean, you're going to have to live with that. You know, I'm going into like a long thing, but how many people sit on their deathbed and regret how they lived their life, whether it's, you know, caring about their family or this thing or that thing? You know, they sit there and say, what if I would have, you know? So it's like, what if you'd give Jesus your all? What would that look like?
I think it's really important to note we are not exceptional people. We are just willing people.
Yeah.
And that's all that we've done is we've given the Lord a yes with what we feel like he's led us towards and is asking of us. Pardon me. Mm-hmm. So we just want to keep giving him our yes, and we want to encourage other people to do that as well. There could be people that we talk to or that maybe want to come and join us that will surpass anything that we ever do, and that's great. That's fine mm-hmm. with us. We really want to help people see what happens when you give God your yes and you don't hold back, because he didn't hold anything back for us. So we want to be willing the way that he was willing and see the fruit of that, which he'll produce. That's mm-hmm. not up to us, so.
You were talking about multiplication, you know, that keeps on going and just building those relationships and opening those doors to hear the truth, the message that you guys are carrying. I also heard it said before, meet a practical need, meet a spiritual need. So
Absolutely.
When you're meeting those practical needs, it's taking those defenses down for somebody to receive, you know, the message you guys carry, which is amazing.
If we saw somebody that was really hurting, needed a roof over their head or food in their stomach, and we only shared the gospel, I feel like we would still be missing mm-hmm. something, in that the Lord instructs us to provide for the needs of others when we can. So we want to help meet those needs and help people as well. It speaks so much so.
So if you could tell our listeners today, how can we connect with you? Do you have an email, a website, a phone number?
This is how you spell our name. but you can go to www.profferministries.com and visit our website there. It talks about what we do. It has a list of our events on the website. There's also a give page if you're interested in supporting what we do. We really try to take the resource that we have and use it to the best of our ability. So we try to sow in as much as we can. So Yep.
So it's been a real joy and an honor to have you guys on today. You know, we've not just been great friends, but to be able to sit and really hear more of your heart and what you're doing and to be part of it as well, you know? So as we wrap up, is there any final closing remarks that you want to tell our listening audience today?
Yeah, I guess what I would say is, you know, if you're in that place like I was 15 years ago and you're saying, is God real? Is there a purpose to life? Is there meaning to life? And you're struggling with, you know, anxiety or depression, and you just wish you had somebody to reach out to. I would ask you to reach out to the Lord. Ask Jesus to touch your life, to reveal himself to you, because that's what he did for me, and I know he'll do it for you. He's not a respecter of person. You know, he's not out there just trying to find the good people. He actually goes to the least of these, the people who are looking for him. He says, if you seek for me, you'll find me. And so I would ask you to seek for him and let him. Ask him your questions. He'll reveal himself to you, and he'll teach you that he's there with you and he has a plan and purpose for your life. And if you're willing, he will transform your life from whatever you're in, whatever situation you're in. He can turn it all around for the good and just help you to figure out who you are actually called to be.
And I would also invite you out to our event.
Yes, please come on out to the fun events. That information will be posted. But it's been great hearing your heart. I know my heart's been encouraged today.
Thanks for sitting with us.
Yes, and we hope to have you back, so don't be
thank
a stranger.
You.
And we thank you all for watching another episode of Open House, and we look forward to seeing you again. Bye-bye.